All right, this is Shannon, and this is the Toncast, and my special guest is Todd Robert Anderson. Cheers,
hi.
Todd.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show. It's great to be asked back.
Yeah.
We just did this past December, right?
We did, and you're my favorite guest. That's why I asked you back.
It's great to be asked back. It doesn't always happen, you know. In Hollywood, they always say work begets work, but that's not always true.
No. No, it's
but
not always true.
Here it is true, so it's nice to feel that.
Yeah.
You know, to
it's rare.
Have that faith reaffirmed. Yeah. It's a new year.
Yeah, happy new year.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have resolutions?
My resolution is always to not make a resolution.
I think that's what most people do these days. But I decided as of yesterday that my New Year's resolution is not to talk to any evangelists via Facebook.
Oh, via Facebook. I was going to say, well, you can avoid that in real life. Why is that? That's very specific.
Well, I'm not really sure what this guy does, but he's a guy who was in my class in high school.
Oh.
And he, you know, friended me on Facebook, and he would make comments every now and again, but, like, for whatever reason, maybe he, like, pays money to jack up his posts or something like that. But, like, he started showing up in my feed way too much. And it's always, he was always saying weird fucking shit.
Uh-huh.
And usually I'd ignore it because it wouldn't make sense, right? But sometimes, like a couple days ago, he did this whole bullshit about, you know, Planned Parenthood manipulating people into getting abortions because they sell fetal tissue to science. You know,
me too. I just bought some the other day. I put it in my George Foreman griller. It's awesome.
It was delicious.
So good. Perfectly tender.
This is great fetus.
Well, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, but I don't consider that meat.
Right. Because it's not fully gestated.
Exactly. I'll send you my recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I was just... He had said enough shit, and I was like... This is conspiracy theory bullshit, dude. So, shut up.
Did you say that to
yeah.
him?
Yeah. I said, shut up. You're spreading lies and bullshit. And Planned Parenthood is actually a good organization that a lot of people depend on to stay healthy. And you're vilifying it like a lot of arbitrary people do, usually evangelicals. You know, and then, like, you know, I Snopes'd a couple things for him. Here's some Snopes things. And he's like, the thing about you Snopes people is you're as dogmatic about Snopes as the evangelicals you claim to despise. And I was like, no, I am, my problem is your lack of facts, you know. And then he tagged me in a 2.5-hour documentary. He's like, this documentary, you know, it's about... you know, eugenics organization that was was basically a precursor to Planned Parenthood. That's what this documentary suggests, that this eugenics organization that was giving syphilis to black men for some fucking reason. I didn't watch the documentary. It was 2.5 hours. He's like, you got to do your research. Watch the documentary. I was like, I will do some research. You know, I'll get back to you. So I did research and I didn't even fucking look at the documentary. I just looked up what this documentary is, who made it, all that. That's research. And I got back to him and I said, I'm not watching this documentary because here's what I learned about the documentary, the people who made it. It's bullshit. They're full of shit. If there is any fact in here, it doesn't matter because it's been spun out of control. You know, that's so your documentary, your support for your case. And he actually tagged also a CNN article about that. And I was like, so you sent me this article, which literally says in the article that Planned Parenthood makes no money from this fetal tissue that gets quote unquote sold to medical science.
And
they don't and Shannon, who enjoys making it on her George Foreman grill, but they don't make any money. So I was like, so your initial thesis of they're manipulating people into being freely sexual so that then they'll get abortions and Planned Parenthood can make money, it doesn't hold any weight because the article that you use to defend yourself says that that's not the case. You know, and then mm-hmm. and then this other lady, one of his followers, whatever, she latched on and piled on with him about me, and they kept saying, the two of them, you got to do your research. And I was like, I did. Fucking research. No, you didn't watch the documentary, therefore you didn't do your research. Fuck you. Your source sucks. It's bullshit. There are no facts, real facts involved in any of it, and you're telling me I didn't do my research? So, and I kept saying, I invite you to unfriend me. I said it like 3 or 4 times before I unfriended him and blocked him and that lady who was his, I think he's a preacher or something.
I was going to ask, yeah.
I don't really know. So I guess when he posts on Facebook, he's posting these conspiracy things, vague conspiracy mm-hmm. things to his flock. And then, so they'll look up these same bullshit things and be entrenched in their faith-based belief system that does not employ a reason on any level. And I got so mad. So mad at this guy. Just talking to crazy people is so frustrating. Mm-hmm. Just around and around in circles. Do your research. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you. Say do your research one more fucking time. And before you do, define research.
Right.
Because I don't think you understand what it is. Because you don't have any corroborating evidence. You just have these bullshit, this one bullshit documentary. It's just, I was like, why am I engaging on this level with this kind of person? It's like getting in an argument with someone who still supports Trump now. It's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointless.
Has he tried to contact you since you blocked and unfriended him?
No.
In a different way?
No.
I thought maybe he'd start tweeting at you or something.
I don't think he's on Twitter, but I mean, he's welcome to, but I will, if he tries to get in touch with me, I'll say, no, I don't. You're a peddler of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, it's bile. You're full of bile. I don't need it. Nobody does. And it's a bummer to me that he can sucker so many people into his like weird cult way of thinking. And it's just a bummer. But people like him prey on weak-minded and emotionally unstable people.
Yep.
And then they fight, and then they latch into it because it's somebody saying, I mean, it's the same thing. It's all faith-based thinking. That's the more I think about it, the more I think the biggest problem that the world faces at this point is faith-based thinking. Not willing to take in facts, realities, not willing to look at news stories and find and research them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, where, what's this? This sounds like bullshit to me. Okay, look it up. Is there corroborating stuff? What are the sources? That's how you do research. But that's not how evangelicals do research.
Mm-mm.
No, they look at these weird documentaries. They go to their faith-based films. You know, that's why I don't have MoviePass anymore. This is literally the only movies I could get into around here anymore were faith-based.
Really?
They're Christian films. Like, it was like, I'm like, oh, what movies can I... Because when I first started MoviePass, it was, I could go see anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great deal. For me, obviously, they weren't making money, and that's why it got worse and worse. But that's why I was on it. And then, you know, I can't go see anything except, you know, Jesus stuff.
How come that is?
Well, I imagine that whatever deals they're running with theaters, like those particular movies,
uh-huh.
they're not designed to make a ton of money at the box office. They're I don't know exactly how that
uh-huh.
works. I mean, they must make some money, but I imagine that most of the funding for those movies comes from tithings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it must have something to do with the deal that the theaters have with the, because that's outside of Hollywood, independent stuff, the
right.
Christian stuff. So I don't know.
I thought maybe just like movie theaters around here just had more Christian movies or something.
Well, they definitely do. There's a lot of, I don't want to call it counter programming, but like cultural programming in this area. It's not just, there's usually a Christian based film at two of the three multiplexes here. Mm-hmm. And then there's one multiplex that features Indian Bollywood movies.
Hmm.
So they always have a Bollywood movie, and they have like a Bollywood movie night. So you go in there, like I took my kid to see, I can't remember what, something recently. Wreck-It Ralph, maybe the new Wreck-It Ralph movie. I don't know, one of those things. But I took him. But we went. We were the only white people in the theater. Everybody was Indian, and I was like, and, you know, in full like Indian color, like bright. Beautiful clothes. Mm-hmm. It was just like, what's going on? This is exciting. This is a cultural event. But they were going, it was just everybody was going to a Bollywood movie. I was like, oh, that's cool. I've seen Bollywood movies. I don't really like them, but it's fun that people are going. I have no problem with that. It's the Christian stuff that, because Bollywood movies aren't propagandistic.
No.
They're just weird. But the Christian movies, hey, hey, hey. And they're so sneaky. I probably told you the story, but I had a audition a couple years back, and this is what research is. So it was a sequel to an Angelina Jolie movie called Unbroken, which was like, she directed it. It was based on a true story about an athlete
in World War II, was it?
Something, yeah, World War II, like a runner.
Yeah, he was a runner.
I don't know, okay, some war happened and he couldn't run. I don't know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
But
it's based on a book.
Yeah, and it had an underlying message of faith was the thing. But it wasn't, you know, a Christian movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the sequel, Unbroken 2, Path to Redemption... You know, and they pitched it in the breakdowns, like, it's a sequel to an Angelina Jolie movie. Isn't that exciting? So, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I looked into it, and I was like, I looked at the names. I was like, who's that? I don't know who that is. I looked it up. I was like, his the director's entire resume was Christian films. So that's what this guy does. He makes Christian propaganda movies for the evangelicals. But they got the rights to this story. And they made a sequel to it. It's very sneaky.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is very sneaky.
Very sneaky. So they're trying to trick, like, legitimate actors who wouldn't necessarily, you know, want to do a propaganda film into doing it. And I was just like, fuck you. I'm not doing that.
John Wick 3 is going to be all about Catholicism.
Yeah, that would be weird. John Wick 3, Path to Jesus. That would be really weird. But they wouldn't have, but then they wouldn't, because Angelina Jolie had nothing to do with
it. Well, yeah. That's...
Too. I mean, it's just, it's just bullshit. So anyway, that's my resolution. I'm just going to turn. I'll just block. As soon as I see a posting that's pro-life or anything like that, or pro-fucking border wall or any of this bullshit, I'm just going to block.
Just block.
It's just not worth getting into a conversation.
No, it's not. I mean, I deactivated my Facebook account for 5 years because I couldn't. I was just sick of that stuff. Then I reactivated it, but because I'm so used to not being on it, I very rarely get on it or engage. And then when I do start seeing stuff, I'm like, it's easy to walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I just, I'm easily angered and frustrated by stupidity, and I shouldn't be.
I wonder what that guy that you went to high school with that you blocked is like in real life, because a lot of people, you know, they feel anonymous when they're behind a keyboard, even though they use, like, their real name or whatever, even more so if they don't, if they use, like, a handle. But I wonder, like, if he's that nuts in real life, or if he's just gets that way when he's...
I mean, he was a weird dude.
Yeah.
In high school, very strange cat. And if I'm remembering correctly, for a long time, he had a Malcolm X fixation.
Oh.
And he was dressing and behaving in you know, he was emulating what he believed Malcolm X was doing, which would have been a more interesting path for him to go down, I think, mm-hmm. If he had. But what he wants, I mean, I think clearly what he wants is to be the leader of some kind of cult.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So what he was fascinated with about Malcolm X wasn't necessarily the equal rights fight. It was more, I liked him because people paid attention to everything he said. And when Malcolm X was Malcolm X, like a lot of his stuff was called conspiracy theory. It was called crazy, even though it was all real. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to be that, but it's too hard to do your fucking research and understand your actual history. Mm-hmm. And actual science and actual math and actual race relations and all that. And instead, you became evangelical and made people who are pro-choice the enemies. And, you know, and he's always talking, you know, on his Facebook page, always talking about, you people sure love your misinformation. And it's like, no. You're a peddler of disinformation.
Yeah.
You're not even misinformation would suggest an innocence and an ignorance that you cannot claim to have. Sorry.
Now I kind of want to find him on Facebook and friend him and start fucking with him.
Well, it could be something to do. I mean, it's just, you know, he's, I don't know. People like that, they're just baiting you to call him a name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which I did. I said, I said, you're a conspiracy theorist and you're full of shit.
I like that he said, you Snopes people.
Yeah, you Snopes. That should be like
the name of a band.
People.
Snopes people. You Snopes people. It sounds like something like an old man Jones would say, you know.
Right, right.
You Snopes people, get off my lawn.
Yeah. I don't know. I find that shit so depressing. I just find shit like that just disheartening, mm-hmm. to a great degree, and I'm particularly sensitive to it. Hi, Ginny. Ginny the cat has entered into the recording studio.
Hey, Ginny. You got something to say?
What is it,
say
Ginny?
Say hi to the people.
What is it, Ginny? Say something. No, she's just like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah, she's not going to be an animal star.
No.
She can't meow on cue.
No.
But she's very cute.
She is cute. She's sweet and she wants attention. Right, Ginny? You would never fall for some evangelist bullshit on Facebook, would you? No, she wouldn't. She's too smart. Yeah.
Okay, Ginny.
We got just went to Disneyland.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Tuesday and Wednesday. In the rain.
A twofer?
Yeah, well, we were supposed to go in October for Colby's birthday. Mm-hmm. It was his birthday party, basically. But he hurt his back.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So we had to push it. So old it wound
man.
Up being...
Old man Colby.
Yeah, it wound up being a dual birthday celebration for him and me this time. So. But it was fun. You know, 2 days, it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking expensive. But 2 days, we went to both parks. I'd never been to California Adventure before. So we got to ride on most of the rides, although some of them were closed because of the rain.
Where did you stay?
We stayed at the Hyatt. It was just like 15 minutes down the road.
Mm-hmm. Was it really busy or was it pretty
good? The first day it was empty. I mean, we basically rode on everything we could at Disneyland. The first day we were done with that park by early afternoon.
Wow.
And then we went to California Adventure. The next day it was rainier and more crowded. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. So we got to ride. And I got to ride on the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, which used to be the Tower of Terror.
Oh, really?
And I'd never done that. And it was scary.
I've been on Tower. I haven't been there since it was Guardians of the Galaxy, but I did go on Tower of Terror last time I was there.
Yeah, it was funny because it's really scary, but that's an old-ass amusement park ride.
Yeah.
It's like a cheap-ass amusement park ride all gussied up. That's mm-hmm. all it is. I rode on that same ride, but at the top of the Stratosphere in Las Vegas. So I don't know if they probably don't have it anymore because when we went up there, they had one of those things that just like goes up and down mm-hmm. like the Tower of Terror, just drops you, lifts you up really fast, drops you. But it was at the top of the fucking skyscraper.
Right.
So it was this scary as fuck. I had to close my eyes because I'm not really good with heights, but you know, we were young and driving cross country to move to LA. So we're like, woo! So we rode on the little roller coaster that goes around on the outside of the mm-hmm. building. I did not care for that either. And that thing that went up and down. Oh, God.
No, I've been on that, too. I'm very scared of heights.
Yeah.
Very, very scared of heights. I don't know why, but I am. And I try to do things to get myself over it. That was going on the Stratosphere was one of them. No, it didn't help.
No, it doesn't help.
No.
I mean, the Tower of Terror was easier on my constitution because you, for the most part, can't tell how high you are.
Yeah.
Because it's in the dark. But it was like you could feel, like the drops are so intense, you know, that you get to the, because it drops you and then you get to some cartoon show with the Guardians and Chris Pratt and the raccoon and all that bullshit.
Speaking of evangelical.
Yeah. All that stuff. But it was so scary. You'd get to the cartoon and be like, I don't give a shit about the cartoon. When is this thing dropping? Ah! You know, it was just terrifying. But because I couldn't see it, it was easier. But then at the top, you know, right at the end of the ride, they open the thing so you can see how high you are.
Right.
And that scared the crap out of me. I was like, oh, we really are really too high.
I can handle, like very... like tall roller coasters, because if I'm strapped in, I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't scare me as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I'm not, you know, so like on the Stratosphere or then I get really freaked because I don't feel safe.
Right.
But then it's like, well, I willingly walked into it. So.
Right. It's weird. It's a weird thing. Yeah, it's really weird. I like roller coasters a lot more than rides like that tower thing because they go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And there's something about the speed and the rolling and the hills, you know, and some of the hills are scary, but there was something like a trapped feeling mm-hmm. on the Guardians thing going up and down where at a certain point I was like, I don't want to go up and down anymore. I don't like this anymore. Whereas a roller coaster, I don't know, something about the way they work. It's just more of adrenaline than terror.
Yeah.
But
also, I think with roller coasters, you know, oh, that loop, that crazy loop is coming. And right. Oh, now we're going upside down. And
well, we went on the Incredicoaster thing in California Adventure. It's the one loop in the whole park, I think. It has a loop.
Okay. I don't think that was there when I... How long is that?
Well, the California Adventure, it used to be... Now it's the Incredicoaster, but when it started, I think it was something else.
Okay.
Because of the loop, you could see it from the parking lot. You can't see it from the parking lot anymore, but the loop had Mickey Mouse ears on it.
Originally. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then they changed it into an Incredibles thing. And they're building something else around it, like a Avengers Land or... Marvel, superhero, I don't know, whatever.
Probably both.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the Disney properties. Because they're opening like a Star Wars park in Disneyland and a Marvel superhero area in California Adventure. So you can't see that roller coaster from the parking lot or the outside anymore. But that's what it is. But Hill didn't realize there was a loop until we were going into it. She's like, oh, shit, I didn't know.
Oh, did she
so,
not?
So, yeah, so that there were surprises for her on that. but that I like that roller coaster a lot. It's good. But, yeah, it was fun. It was rainy and wet, but it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we went to Magic Mountain on Easter years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's so great to go to amusement parks, like if it's raining or on a holiday, because
yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah. It used to be Super Bowl Sunday was a great day to go.
Used to be, not anymore.
I think a lot of people figure that out.
They caught on to it.
On Super Bowl Sunday. and probably because fewer and fewer people give a fuck about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Too, so it doesn't really work that way anymore. But we, there's like a site you can go on for Disneyland that specifically says when the lightest days of the year are.
Well, now everybody's going to do it. You just screwed us.
Well, no, not really, because it still will be, because like the Haunted Mansion was closed. That's why it's lower.
Uh-huh.
Part of the reason this time of year the attendance is lower is because they're switching things over. So a lot of the more classic rides will be closed because they're changing them from their Christmas bullshit into regular bullshit.
Okay.
So the Haunted Mansion was closed, so we didn't get to go on that. And that's like probably the best ride in Disneyland. But, you know, there's still shitloads of people there, but it wasn't, you know, shoulder to shoulder like it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
The lines weren't very long. And we had the Fast Pass thing, but sometimes we didn't even need it. We'd get the Fast Pass line would be just as short as the regular line, because there was nobody there.
Wow. Did you know that Disneyland, and probably Disney World as well, they have really hardcore, specific, underground, security system?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, if somebody gets kidnapped.
Yeah, they're on top of stuff. Yeah, we saw a kid in California Adventure running down. It was raining.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when I looked, it's like your first, when you see a kid, his feet come out from under him and he falls backwards onto fucking cement.
Cement, yeah.
And I think his back absorbed most of the shock, but his head still hit the sidewalk and then he just started screaming.
Ugh.
And I've seen some bad head injuries in that. Like, I was in an airport once and saw a guy who'd hit his head, and he had the biggest fucking lump I've ever. It was like a goiter.
Wow.
Coming out the side of his head. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And the guy wasn't making any sense. And then, like, security and medical. I was like, oh, something happened to that guy. He got hit by what? I have no idea. It was the biggest fucking thing I've ever seen. So that's, like, what I immediately, when this kid fell, I was like, oh, my God. But I didn't even take a step. And he was surrounded by three medical people and a bunch of other, like, Disney security people within seconds of falling down. And I was like, whoa. Imagine if, you know, universal healthcare was like that.
what's universal healthcare?
It's this Canadian myth.
Oh.
Yeah. Canadians, they drink their Canadian mist and they get hopped up. And then they talk about universal healthcare and shit like that. It's just crazy.
I'll have to look that up on Snopes.
But, you know, if it worked like Disneyland, that'd be great. But then, first concern, and then he was taken care of. Then I looked at what he was wearing on his feet and his dumb mom who was sitting there not knowing what to do. And I was like, oh, that's fucking on you. She put him in Crocs.
Oh, God.
Which I know in her dumb head, it was like, well, they're waterproof.
Right.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. They have no traction. And you have a kid running around on cement. I mean, Disneyland's a goddamn parking lot.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's cement in Southern California and pavement in Southern California. Southern California's not good with wet surfaces like that. It's just never been good. So why would you put your kid in Crocs? It's very thoughtless.
Yeah, it is very thoughtless.
But they probably got to see the underground infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably saw a certain element of Disneyland most people don't get to see.
A guy I went to college with told me that his neighbor, his neighbors went to Disney, I think it was Disney World, and their kid, I think it was a boy, got snatched. And, you know, the parents freaked out, went to security, and security, they immediately took them to the underground bunker. And he said that they took them into a room that had televisions, like a wall of screens. And they said, okay, how old's your kid? I think the kid was three. And they said, okay, well, what's most likely happened is they've changed his clothes, they've cut his hair, maybe dyed his hair, probably put a hat on him, but kidnappers don't carry around shoes because they never know the shoe size of the child.
Right.
So we want you to look at all of these cameras, you know, and look if you see a kid that is about your son's age and you're not sure if it's him or not, look at his feet. And so they were scanning everything and they found him, and he was in the bathroom, and one of the kidnappers had him sitting on a sink, and he had a baseball hat on, and his hair was cut really short, different clothes, but he had the same sneakers on, and they were like, "We're going in." And whoa.
Is it Disney?
Yeah, it was at Disney. I think it was Disney World. Just to rewind, like, as soon as they went to security and said, our kid's missing, they immediately shut down the park. Nobody was, like, immediately. No one was allowed in and out, even if people were, like, right at the gate. They were like, nope, we're on lockdown. And so they went in, and they caught the kidnapper and the kidnappers, because there was more than one, and rescued the kid.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All the parks, I can't remember, we have a number of mutual friends who worked at Universal back when we first moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who told me. Might have been Steve, might have been Jeff. I can't remember. But somebody told me a story about when Jurassic Park, the ride first opened, before it opened, they had like test runs with like, VIP guests, and I guess one of these boats, the giant T-Rex that comes down at the end. Have you been on that ride?
Mm-mm.
It's just a dumb boat ride with like a steep drop at the end. And there's like dinosaurs. And when you get in, it's like outside a lot of it. And then you get inside and the dinosaurs are wrecking everything and it's breaking. And then you go down and the T-Rex comes out and then you fall down a steep hill and get wet. That's the thing. But apparently in this one, preliminary test run thing, the VIPs, something happened with the T-Rex and one of its hoses broke.
Uh-huh.
And sprayed hydraulic acid all over the people in the boat.
Oh my God.
And apparently that boat, when it pulled into the station, was empty. Because that happened, they shut it down, they pulled everybody off the boat into a back room and settled with everybody.
Wow.
Who had been burned. Like, instantly settled. Everybody signs NDAs. Everybody gets a certain amount of money and a certain amount for medical care, blah, blah, blah. Sorry we burned your faces.
Sorry we permanently disfigured you for life.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it makes sense. I never heard about that, so that makes sense.
I mean, maybe.
NDAs. Wow.
Yeah, it's... They're all like that. I mean, Disney, I imagine, is the tightest run ship, obviously, in the business, mm-hmm. but they all have versions of that.
Well, I was very impressed that they, were able to rescue the kids so quickly,
Yeah, that's amazing.
After there. But
I mean, you wouldn't think, that's the other thing too. It's like, of all the places to try and kidnap somebody, I mean, wouldn't you think that Disney security is intense with that stuff? It seems.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine kidnappers don't often think things through completely, but it just seems like that was dumb on the part of the kidnapper.
Yeah, it was, but I think it was dumb probably to do it. It was dumb to do it at Disneyland. I mean, it was risky for sure.
Right, right.
But, I think they were there like on a weekend, a busy day, so it's easy to just, grab a kid. And the kidnappers either had done it before or they had a plan. They're like, we'll change the kid's clothes, we'll cut his hair, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So they weren't amateurs, so to speak.
No, they knew what they were doing, but it was a very risky. I mean, did they know who was this kid rich?
I have no idea. I don't.
Or did they just go and expect? That's what I would be interested in. Were they going and just like, we're going to find a kid and just kidnap him and hope his parents are rich? I mean, that just seems dumb.
Yeah, it does seem dumb. And I don't think the family was rich, but I don't know what.
I don't want to encourage kidnappers to be smarter, because this is the best outcome of attempted kidnapping. But it's just, I guess, criminals. The reality is we see so many movies, and the criminals are always fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And very good looking, usually.
Very good
either looking. Very good looking or Russian and with scars on their faces.
Right, right. Or it's like a really revered character actor doing a bad turn.
Yeah.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman in that third Mission Impossible movie or something like that.
R.I.P. Yeah.
They're always really fucking smart, is my point.
Yeah.
you know, Hans Gruber. Smart guy. I mean, he figured everything out. He was always a few steps ahead of the car. He just, you know what he didn't count on?
What?
Fucking John McClane. He just, that was the one thing he didn't think of. And that's a reasonable oversight.
Yes, it is.
That's a reasonable oversight. But these kidnappers at Disney World, I feel like they were not Hans Gruber at all.
No.
And I think most criminals are not.
No.
They're mostly kind of dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I was a kidnapper, Disney World or Disneyland wouldn't be my number one choice.
No.
Because it is very, very risky. But what I did take away from the story was the whole thing about the shoes, because after my friend told me this story is when I got mugged in New York. And I remembered that, because the guys who mugged me were wearing dark, like...
Oh, so you looked at their shoes?
I looked at their shoes. And I still remember one of them, he was wearing a pair of black Nikes with the white stripe. And I forget what the other one was wearing. Now, they never got caught.
Right.
But...
Muggers very rarely do.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember, in my head, I was like, look at the shoes, look at the shoes. And so I, like, looked at their shoes, but...
Well, that's smart, though. I mean, most people don't, in that situation, wouldn't have that thought.
Well, I wouldn't have had that thought if I hadn't been told that story.
Right. But I mean, like, if I'm in those situations, I'm not calm enough to reference any story. I'm just like, how do I get the fuck out of this without...
Well, I had that going. I did try to run, and they slammed me up against the side of a building, but I... Yeah.
That's interesting and smart and calm. It was a calm choice to make. Because I know when Hill got mugged outside of our apartment door, she was holding Colby.
Right.
You know, and the guy ran off, and then the cops came with their mugshot book, and she, like, these are the guys in the area, you know, and she was like, I can't... I mean, a couple of these pictures potentially look like this guy, but I can't say for sure, and I don't want to send somebody up the river if she's like, I can't be sure.
Yeah, that's what happened with me. They had me, like, a week later go down to the police station and look at the mugshot book, and it was the same thing. I'm like,
Yeah, my brother and sister-in-law are both public defenders. Well, she's a professor now, but that's how they started, as public defenders. And there's, you know, they've done multiple studies on eyewitness, and it's almost entirely undependable.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that our legal system relies on eyewitnesses so much is a problem, because people don't remember.
Yeah.
And then also, I mean, and this guy that mugged my wife was, he was a black dude. You know what I mean? So, and it happens so fast. It's like, and you're not looking in the eyes of the mugger. You're trying to determine, like, he had his hands in his pocket,
mm-hmm.
and basically said, give me all your money. You know, I've got a weapon. I mean, that's what you look at.
Right.
You know, if he had actually brandished a weapon, that's all you would see. But just knowing that maybe he had a weapon in his pocket, that was the only thing that she was really looking at.
Sure.
So Shikati was a black guy and young, you know, and I saw the guy too, because he walked by. I was getting groceries out of the trunk, and he walked by me, and I said hello to them right before he mugged my family. So, you know, and I looked at him and I was like, I can't say for sure. I saw him for 2 seconds. I, you know, and then the mugshots are different than when you see an animated human being.
Right.
You know, and you actually say hi to him and he gives you a nod, you know, doesn't look like a mugshot at all. So, you know, we couldn't send this guy up the river.
A few years ago, like I remember it was Martin Luther King Day, because I had the day off from work, and I live very close to a laundromat, and it was 2:45 in the afternoon, and I heard gunshots, and I was like, what the hell? And I went and I looked outside, and these two guys ran past my apartment, and then I went out and I looked, and there were two guys on the ground in the parking lot. Fast forward to, it was one of the rare instances where, like, a crime actually in LA actually made it onto the news and in the paper, because there's so much criminal activity, half the stuff
right,
you never hear about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, and I, you know, I, when I saw the guys run by, you know, obviously I didn't get a good look at them, but I did notice what they were wearing. One of them was wearing like a black hoodie. They were both wearing jeans. I think the other one was wearing a sweatshirt too, but pretty dark clothes. And so when they, when the report came out, it was like, okay, we're looking for like two Latino guys. And you know, they released like a picture, and I was like, well, yeah, I saw those guys run past my apartment. I couldn't pick them out.
No.
They're two Latino guys wearing dark, plain, you know, they didn't have right. a logo on them, nothing. Like,
and if you don't know, if you're not, I don't have a personal relationship with these people, how are you going to pick them out?
Yeah. The only, I don't know if they ever got caught. I think that they had a getaway car parked, you know, down the block because they were running, and I was actually quite amazed that, because my street tends to be pretty busy during the day, and at that moment nobody was walking down the sidewalk where they were running,
huh.
which was so lucky, because obviously right. they had guns and they could have just, you know, shot someone to get them out of the way or shoved them. But I don't know if they ever were caught, but it seemed, apparently, from what I like, went over, because I'm fucking nosy as shit. And I'm, like, an amateur sleuth. So I'm like, I need to get on the case and find out what happened. So I went over to the laundromat. I was like, what happened? What's going on? And apparently, they had a beef with somebody. There was a video rental store that was going out of business that was in the same little building. And they had a beef with the guy who worked there. So they went and they were like, I'm here to see, you know, whoever, Joe. And Joe came out and they just shot him point blank. So the only thing, and his coworker, I think it was. So the only thing I can think of is, like, since they had a beef with this guy, maybe his family or friends were able to give a good description. I don't know if they were ever caught, but just the description they gave on the news was like, hell, Central Casting is more specific.
Right, right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how anyone retains any real memories if they're being mugged. I mean, and I've been mugged too, and I mean, I remember the event clearly, but I can't tell you exactly what the guy looked like.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the event clearly too, and I think I remember what they looked like, but again, there's. Even if I had seen the mugshot book right after,
right.
I still would be second-guessing myself.
Right.
So, well, that guy had a shaved head. This guy has hair.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it's the same guy.
Right. Come here, Jenny. Come on. Come on, Jenny. Oh, she's just going to sit and complain.
Although, after talking about this, now maybe we should become professional muggers.
People that's a yeah, we're you know. Like, yeah, why not? We can make a killing.
Yeah,
I was thinking private investigators, but, you know, we could do that. We'll operate on the wrong side of the law.
We could do both.
Yeah, why not? We're PIs who mug people.
Yeah, for research.
Yeah, for research. I would do that. You want to go to private investigator school?
Yeah.
If you're naturally nosy, maybe that's like a good line.
You
just got to get a gun and stuff.
That's the problem. I looked into it a few years ago.
Oh, did you?
I did. And fun fact, a female FBI agent tried to recruit me.
Really?
Years ago.
You mean sexually?
No, no, no.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
No. But, you know, if that would be more exciting to you, I can make up a story about how she did.
The hot FBI lady.
The hot FBI lady, yes. We it was a Silence of the Lambs 2, Electric Boogaloo on ice. But the whole gun thing was what made me not want to do it.
Yeah.
Because guns freak me out.
They freak me out, too. But maybe if I had that job, because I would never want to join the military or a police force, because I'm naturally... I have a problem with authority, just naturally. And
really? I never would have guessed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's weird.
You.
And those socialist organizations tip a little bit fascist for me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I have a lot of relatives who are cops. They're really good people. And I love them. And they're great. And they're good at their jobs. And they're good cops. They're actually good cops. You know, my cousins are all good cops. And I get that. And they're doing good things. Like my cousin Bill, actually, who lived in New Hampshire his whole life, just moved to San Diego to be a animal cop. Like they're cops that rescue like animals.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. Every time I pick his brain about it, he's like, dude, I get what you're saying, but this dude, this job's boring. It's it's really not a big deal. It's raccoons and possums and shit. Doesn't matter.
Well, you know what?
I was like, no, but that's a cool line as far as law enforcement to get into, because it feels like you're only going to be doing good.
Right.
If you're rescuing mostly wild animals.
But do possums really need to be rescued?
Well, they're actually a really important part of Southern California's ecosystem. One, they're the only marsupial that we have.
Okay, that's true.
Possums are our kangaroos, first of all. So that's something to keep in mind. But also, they eat a lot of grubs and little ass rodents.
Mm-hmm.
And bugs and shit. So they actually do a lot for our ecosystem. I'm not a crazy possum fan when I see them in reality, as I have in mm-hmm. my garage.
Yeah, I have too.
And I've dealt with them. And I don't, I, they, they're creepy and I don't like them and they scare me because they bare their teeth at you.
Yeah.
And then they want, like I had one in my garage and I realized in retrospect that she was pregnant.
Oh.
But she, like, I realized this thing was in the garage. So I cleared everything out of the garage around, like, I was pulling stuff, getting really close to this goddamn possum and pulling stuff out so I could expose it, so I could then try and scare it out of the garage. And I was hitting you know how you go to, Universal Horror Nights or whatever, one of those things,
mm-hmm.
and people, like, smash their shovels into the pavement
yeah.
to scare the fuck out of you? That's what I was doing right next to this possum. To try and get it. I just didn't want to touch it, you know, and it wouldn't move. And it was awake. It wasn't playing dead. It was just looking at me. Like, I'm not fucking moving. You can do your worst, dude. I'm not going anywhere. And I realized now that she was pregnant because I paid to have her removed.
Uh-huh.
But then apparently she'd already given birth by the time the guy came out to get her and catch her and get her out, which he did.
Uh-huh.
But then more and more possum stuff started turning up in my garage, and I called the guy again and he came out and he's like, yeah, I think she had her babies and I think that's what you're dealing with. And I was like, dude, it was $100. Like, you can't catch things yourself, you have to be licensed, because
mm-hmm.
it's like $1,000 fine if somebody catches you taking a wild animal that you caught on your property and putting it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a license and you have to know to the appropriate places to go with the catch and release thing. So they have you bent over a barrel if you want to do it legally. So I paid like $200 for two possums, and then another one turned up. And I said to the guy, look, I can't fucking afford this. It's too much money. He's like, all right, I'll tell you this, save you some money and just don't spread it around because this is my livelihood. Yeah. And I was like, uh-huh. I'm going to spread it
around. Scout's honor.
I'm going to spread this around because you just took me for $200. Just fucking throw mothballs in your afflicted rodent. Like, if you have mice in your kitchen sink, just put mothballs in there. Now, your apartment, your house, whatever, will smell. It will smell bad for
yeah.
a while. It will smell like mothballs. But mothballs are not toxic. They're not harmful to you in any way. It smells bad, but it's not bad for you.
Right.
And it gets rid of all the rodents. They all leave because they hate the smell. And it totally worked.
Wow. Interesting.
Luckily, in that house, the garage was detached.
Mm-hmm.
So it smelled like mothballs, but it didn't get into the house. But then we had, we weren't sure if it was raccoons or possums under our house. And I put mothballs under the house. I just threw handfuls of them. So the house smelled like mothballs for a week, but gets rid of all the rodents.
Interesting.
All of them. Rats, anything.
I've only had one mouse in my apartment and I caught it with a humane trap.
Oh, uh-huh.
But it was sneaky. Like I put a piece of cheese like all the way in the back, and the first two times it managed to get it. And get
oh,
it
yeah. They're very wily.
But like the third or fourth time, I caught it and then I took it outside and let it go. But right now, I think I need a possum for like a little bit because I have some crickets that are tormenting
That's what you need. You need a cat.
Yeah.
Cats love hunting crickets.
Maybe I need to take Jenny with me for the weekend because they're especially since it's been raining.
Yeah.
They've been coming in. And I've killed, in the past 2 days, I've killed three.
Yeah.
Two adults and one I think is an adolescent or their child. So right. I'm like, well, you're all being reunited now.
Hey, Jenny, you want to catch some crickets at Shannon's place? You going to go get some crickets? You were meowing at me to get on my lap, and now all you want is to get down. How cute is that?
It's very cute.
She's very cute. She's fat. Look, you're a fat ass.
She's not fat. Look, she's big boned.
No, she's fat.
She's big boned.
Feel that belly. Man, she's a big fat big cat. Boned. She's only getting away with this because her brother is so fat, she doesn't look that fat.
She doesn't look fat to me.
You can feel it. She's big. It's because they're indoor cats. All they do is fucking eat and sleep.
That's the life.
Yeah. If they were outdoor cats, one, they'd probably be dead, but they'd be a lot skinnier.
Or if there were a lot of rodents, they'd be fat. My grandparents had a cat that was an outdoor cat named Boots. And then when they finally had to give Boots up, and they gave it to my aunt and uncle who lived on a farm. And after living there for a few months, Boots was like obese because
really?
He was eating. He loved it. He was going crazy.
Just hanging out. Was there a barn or something?
Yeah, they had a barn.
Yeah. Barn cats get fat.
Oh, he got huge. Yeah.
My parents, they had a neighbor who had a barn cat, and that barn cat was fat.
Mm-hmm.
Fat. And I stayed at a bed and breakfast near my parents, and they had a barn cat too. Fat ass barn cat who would sneak into our we rented a few rooms, my brother and sister and me and our families, and the cat would always sneak in and sit his fat ass on the couch.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's life. All right, on that note.
Fat cats.
Fat cats. Fat cats are us.
Well, thanks for having me on your show again.
Thank you for coming.
I'd love to do it again if you ever want to have me on again. You know,
I'd love to. I've got to check my schedule.
Yeah.
Because people are clamoring.
No. Obviously, people want to be on the show. I mean, I don't want to hog it, you know.
No.
I just kind of want to be a Norm Macdonald to your David Letterman.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I've got a gap, too, you know.
Yeah. Or a Steve Martin to your Saturday Night Live. You know, whatever. You know, I just want to be heavily in rotation. I don't need to be the only. I mean, obviously.
Well, I'll have my people talk to your people. I'll have my people talk to your people's people, and then they'll talk to your people.
Great.
All right.
As long as our people are talking to other people and each other's peoples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll probably be through text.
Okay.
But,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Texting's fine.
Yeah. Okay, good.